You're listening to an audio sermon from Harvest Bible Chapel in Toronto West. For more information, please visit harvesttorontowest.ca.
God's word is awesome, isn't it? I don't know about you, but listening to the word of God throughout the worship time is blessing my heart and encouraging my heart. And I trust that you're here, and if you need encouragement, that God's word is bringing encouragement to you. So we're progressing in our series in Psalm 32. Excuse me. It's entitled Covered, Living Under the Blessing of Forgiveness. And I want to start this morning by pointing out that there are probably two groups of people represented in this room today. There are probably two groups. The first group would be a group of people that are very familiar with the biblical teaching on God's forgiveness. This group of people would be growing up in church. They've heard a lot of preaching on the subject. They're familiar with their Bibles. They've been around the Christian scene for a bit. They're familiar with this concept of God's forgiveness. The other group of people, I suspect there would be a group of people here today that are not very familiar at all with the biblical teaching on God's forgiveness. Not familiar at all. Never heard biblical teaching on the subject. Maybe you've never experienced forgiveness in your own life. Maybe this is your first time in a church. You have no idea about what it means that God is a forgiving God. Before I jump into the text, I want to ask you, which group do you fall into? You're very familiar with this? Have you grown up in Sunday school hearing about Jesus who died on the cross to forgive you of your sins? Or are you in the category of people who, there's someone out there that wants to forgive me of my sins? I actually need forgiveness. Tell me more about this. Which category of people do you belong in? Or do you fall under? The reason I'm pointing out that there are two categories of people probably is because the reality is that the Bible teaches forgiveness is a massively significant component of our salvation. It's a huge, huge component. We have to have a good theology of forgiveness, and we need to understand, loved ones, that the Bible teaches that to be forgiven is to be liberated. To be forgiven is to be set free. To be forgiven is to be released of an obligation. And there's so many people in the world today that want to be set free. And there's so many people, even in Christian churches, that have been hearing biblical teaching on God's forgiveness, but they've forgotten all about it. They have no strong theology of forgiveness, and they're searching for freedom. They're searching for some kind of deliverance. They're searching to be set free. All the while, the gospel of Jesus Christ puts it right in front of us. It doesn't matter what you do in this life, no matter how hard you pursue riches or materialism or wealth or success in the eyes of the world, there's no freedom, there's no deliverance, there's no being set free apart from being pardoned by the mercy of God through Jesus Christ. And so today we need to pray. We need to pray because some of us are very familiar with the concept that God forgives sinners, but it's lost its impact in our lives. We need to pray that if you're in that category of people that know that God forgives sins, but it's lost its impact in your life, we need to pray that through the Word of God and by the Spirit of God, we are awakened again to this awesome truth that Jesus Christ sets people free by forgiving us of our sins. But we also need to pray because there's other of us in this room who have a desperate need to receive forgiveness. You have a desperate need to receive the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ. And perhaps today could be a day that you leave here totally changed by God. See, we're not playing games here. We're not going through the motions. We're opening up God's word. And we want to bring familiar truth to you, but we don't want the familiarity of it to lose its impact. We want you to know by the power of God today, through the Spirit of God today, through the Word of God today, what an awesome, awesome thing it is that we have been forgiven and have freedom in Jesus Christ. So will you pray with me right now? Will you bow your heads right now and pray with me? Will you not just listen to me pray, but will you pray yourself in your heart? Oh God, I need to experience this freedom that comes from forgiveness. Oh Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ today that you would take us out of the seat of complacency and plunge us, Lord, into the depths of awe and wonder at the gospel, at the fact, the truth, that you set people free, that you release us of an obligation that our sin has placed upon us. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone in this room today that has not received the forgiveness of God, that they would see it. They would see it clearly. They would reach out for it. They would embrace it, and they would experience it today and leave here changed for your glory and for their good. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you agree, say amen really loud. Amen. 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 All right, take your Bibles now and go with me to Psalm chapter 32. Psalm 32. If you don't have a Bible, please slip up your hand. And one of the ushers on either side, they'd love to put a copy of the Word of God in your hands. Again, I have nothing really good to say apart from the Word of God. Everything I want to tell you comes from the pages of the Scripture, and I want you to test me on that. I want you to look with me. I want you to follow along. I want you to make sure that everything this preacher is saying is coming from the pages of the Bible. So if you don't own a Bible, that Bible will be our gift to you. Please take it and have your life changed by the precious Word of God. Psalm 32, we're unpacking verses 5 to 7 today. Two verses. Can we get a sermon out of two verses? Can we do that? Yeah, we can. We can. Psalm 32, verses 5 to 7. But let me start from the beginning of Psalm 32. We've been walking through it. David is the author, and this is what he says. He says, "Blessed or happy is the one whose transgression is forgiven." Remember that word blessed means happy. That's a good translation of it. Happy. "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed or happy is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit." Verse 3 now. "For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer." He's recalling what it was like to live with harbored sin, unconfessed sin in his heart there. And then he says this in verse 5, and this is where we're going to be this morning. He says, "I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him." Verse 7, "You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance." Okay, we're going to pull some truth out of these verses, but really quickly, I'm going to review message number one. We saw how it is that people find happiness in this life. Is it a new car? No. Is it a new house? No. Is it a spouse? Is it children? No. These are not the things that give happiness in life. We saw the way to find true happiness is to be forgiven of our sins. We saw that. How to be happy was message number one. And it's to reach out for the forgiveness that Jesus Christ offers, the forgiveness that sets us free. And then in message two last week, we saw the enemy of true happiness. What stands in the way of your happiness and mine? What stands in the way of your joy and mine? What is it? Is it bad circumstances? Is it I got laid off at work? Is it the housing market is not doing well? No. That really shouldn't get in the way of true happiness. What gets in the way of true joy and happiness in the Christian life? Well, we saw that it's unconfessed sin. unconfessed sin in our hearts. We pulled it right out of the passage. David was recalling what it was like when he harbored his sin in his heart, when he refused to confess his sin to God. And it was in those moments of harboring sin in his life that he felt the heavy hand of God upon his life. And he experienced multiplied and intensified sorrow and pain under the conviction of God. Unconfessed sin is the enemy of true happiness. And then today our passage takes us even deeper. What does it mean to confess our sins? What does this look like? Last week we saw that unconfessed sin, it's a problem. It's going to get in the way of our happiness. But how now? How should we dive deeply into the forgiveness of God through the confession of our sin? All right, so we're going to talk about a few key things about forgiveness and freedom. So write this down. What we all need to know about forgiveness and freedom, write this down. We need to know about the immediacy of forgiveness. It's available right now. We want to develop a good theology of forgiveness. We want to make sure we understand what the Bible says about this, that God forgives me. What we all need to know about forgiveness and freedom, we need to know about the immediacy of forgiveness. It's available right now. I mean, do I have to work for it? Do I need to do something to get it? Well, the forgiveness of God is immediate. Notice verse 5. It says, I acknowledge my sin to you, David says. And I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And here it is. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Notice the immediacy of the forgiveness of God. Notice there wasn't a time lapse. Notice it didn't take 5 years. Notice he didn't have to get his act together to receive the forgiveness of God. He says, I confessed my sin to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. And he was an adulterer, remember. He was a liar. He was a master manipulator. He was even a murderer. You mean God immediately forgives those kind of people? I'm telling you, he does. When David confessed his sin, when David confessed his transgressions to the Lord, immediately we see God extending forgiveness. And what we need to see this morning right away is this. God is not like you and me. God is not like you. God is not like me. God is above us. He is better than us. He is more glorious than us. When someone really hurts us badly, it takes us some time to forgive, doesn't it? When someone really injures us in some way, seriously, we need some time to process. We need to figure out if they're worthy of our forgiveness. We need to get over some of the hard feelings before we extend forgiveness. For some of us, it doesn't matter how apologetic the other person is. For some of us, it's like, you're not getting an ounce of my forgiveness. Let me sit on this for a bit. Isn't that how we are sometimes? Isn't that our flesh sometimes? Maybe you're in that place right now. But listen, God is not like us. You need to understand, God is not like us. David, the liar, the adulterer, the manipulator, the murderer, confesses his transgressions to the Lord with a sincere heart. And what does God do? Does God say, I need some time to think about this? God extends his mercy and his grace towards David immediately because God is supremely merciful. And God is supremely forgiving. And God is ultimately loving. And God is patient with us. He's not like us. With a heart of humility and thankfulness, David says to the Lord, you forgave my sin. I messed up really badly here. I messed up really, really badly. I deserve to be cut off, but you forgave the iniquity of my sin. That's what God does. And that's what God offers. Immediate freedom from the guilt of sin and the shame of sin. But listen, we've already rehearsed all of this in message number one, didn't we? We talked about this. We said, no matter who you are, what you've done, or where you've been, you can find forgiveness, the total, all-encompassing forgiveness of God extended to you today. We talked about that. Today, I want to unpack a little bit more about what it looks like for us to confess our sins to the Lord and what it looks like that we experience true freedom. Do you want that today? Do you want that? Have you ever been confused? What does this look like? Do I just say a prayer and then walk away? Or, you know, do I wait for something? Do I have to do something? And I think David makes some things very clear to us that we need to understand. Number one,
I want you to write this down. The freedom of forgiveness is available right now. Write this down. Today I need to first humbly acknowledge my sin. Today I need to humbly acknowledge my sin. We're going back to the basics here, but I love going back to the basics because so many churches and so many preachers have left the basics alone and the congregations can't even identify what the basics are. Now, I don't want you to be that way. I want us to understand what it means that we're forgiven and set free by the grace and mercy of God. I need to humbly acknowledge my sin. Notice verse 5. David says, I acknowledged my sin to you. What does that mean? To acknowledge our sin is to see our sin. We saw that it's easy sometimes to be blind to our sin, isn't it? It's easy sometimes to get into habitual patterns of sin, and we don't even realize what's going on in our lives. We're walking down patterns of destruction, and we don't even realize what's happening. David says, I first acknowledged my sin. I saw it. I saw it. I saw it clearly for what it is. To acknowledge our sin is to see our sin. To acknowledge our sin is to then own our sin. Not only do I see it, but then I'm going to go a step further. I'm going to own it. I did this. I'm doing this. I'm doing something wrong here. I'm walking in patterns that are hurting me. They're destructive. I got to see my sin. I got to own my sin. And then to acknowledge my sin is to be then brokenhearted over my sin. That's what it means to acknowledge my sin, and all of this in the category of confessing our sin. When you acknowledge your sin truly, you're not just sorry you got caught, you're brokenhearted over the sin that's taken place in your life. And the only way, listen, to see and to own and to be broken over our sin is to have and possess a heart of humility. Is to pursue humility over a pride. Do you know, loved ones, why relationship conflicts get so complicated so often? Do you know why? I see it all the time. Relational conflicts. People can't get along all the time. Do you know why? Well, pride. Pride. Well, you say you don't understand, Jason. It's a very complex situation. No, I understand everything. It's complex because of pride. That's what it is. And do you know what the silent joy killer is of the Christian life? Do you know what the happiness killer is of the Christian life? It's pride. It's pride that says, I'm going to conceal my sin. What I'm doing is not so bad. I'm okay. I don't want to face it for what it is, because if I face it for what it is, I'll realize I'm not as good as I think I am. Pride kills joy and happiness, and pride fuels a heart that wants to conceal and cover up sin. David says, I acknowledged my sin to you. I acknowledged my sin. And when we humble ourselves, when we begin to see our sin and own our sin and be broken of our sin, our confession of sin is met then with immediate forgiveness. But we have to get to step one, to acknowledge our sin. Okay? No more generalities. No more wake up in the morning, God, forgive me of all my sins, and you haven't named anything. Meanwhile, there's some very specific things that God has shown you in your life that need to change. God knows everything, but he wants to hear you. He wants to hear you confess your sin because he wants to know that you see it, you own it, and you're willing to acknowledge it, that you're broken over it. But so many professing Christians fill churches all over North America, in our city of Toronto, sitting there, and they are happy and content in their sin. And the problem is, there are very few pastors willing to get in the Bible to say, no, you can't do that. You have to stop doing that. The Bible says that's wrong. Don't make peace with your sin. Make war with your sin. And that's what we're doing today. What does it mean to confess our sins to the Lord and therefore find freedom in forgiveness? Well, we have to humbly acknowledge our sin. You say, well, I've done that. Listen, I'm a pastor, I'm a preacher, I've done my seminary degree, I have my master's, I'm with godly people all the time. Listen, and I struggle with this every day. There's sin in my life every day, loved ones, that I fail to see because I'm getting caught up in this, that, or the other. Even the most mature among us, even the most spiritual among us have to take this message to heart. Today, maybe, perhaps God is showing you sin in your life that you need to humbly acknowledge. I see it. And now I want to own it. And I'm really broken over it. I don't want to keep doing this. That's the only way to freedom. Freedom through forgiveness. So the freedom of forgiveness is available right now. Today, I need to humbly acknowledge my sin. Secondly, the freedom of forgiveness is available right now. Today, I need to openly uncover my sin. C.H. Spurgeon said this, "We must, as far as possible, unveil the secrets of the soul, dig up the hidden treasures, and by weight and measure, bring out our sins." Sin thrives in the darkness. Satan loves to keep you in the dark. Sin grows and festers in the dark. Enslavement and bondage to sin, therefore, is strengthened in the dark. But freedom is found in the light. Freedom from sin through forgiveness is found in the light when we openly uncover our sins. Notice it in the Bible in verse 5. He says, "I acknowledge my sin to you." What else? "And I did not cover my iniquity." If I did a survey right now, I asked you, do you believe God knows everything? I think all of us would say, yeah, God knows everything. But listen to watch the deceitfulness of our hearts. We know that God knows everything, but we still think we can hide things from him. See the deceitfulness of our hearts and the breakdown of our theology. God is omniscient and omnipresent and omnipotent. He knows everything. Every one of us would agree to that. But why do we hide our sin in our hearts if he knows everything? It's a deceitfulness of sin. It's a deceitfulness of our hearts. And so David says, "I did not cover my iniquity." Remember that David knows what he's talking about here. He tried to cover up his adultery by lying. He tried to manipulate the situation. Remember that in 2 Samuel 11, bringing back Uriah and manipulating the situation. We went through this in message 1. If you weren't here, go check it out. And then finally, he gets Bathsheba pregnant. He's trying to cover up his adultery. He lies, he manipulates, and then the only thing he can do then is murder her husband. Remember that? Covering up, keeping things in the dark until he finally breaks down, under the heavy hand of God. And here in Psalm 32, David announces to all that the covering up of sin only leads to sorrow and pain, but the acknowledgement of sin, the uncovering of our sin, leads to freedom. And you know, loved ones, I'll tell you something. Before I got into pastoral ministry, I was very naive, and maybe I still am naive in many ways. Maybe that was a good thing, maybe not, but I used to watch like television programs and watch like manipulation and watch people live double lives and stuff, and I used to always think to myself, oh, that doesn't happen in real life. And you know what I've learned through being a pastor for the past few years? I've learned that every single one of us have the potential to live double lives. I've learned that every single one of us have the potential to say one thing and do something else. I'm seeing things all around me. I'm looking at my own heart and the susceptibility of my own heart, the probability of my own heart towards sin, and I'm realizing that, hold on. There are people out there that live double lives. There are people out there that cover up. There are people out there that say, I'm this and I'm that, but they're really this and that. And it's devastating and it's heartbreaking. And those people are covering their sin. And when we do that, we cover our sin. And it leads to sorrow. It never leads to happiness. You think sin is fun? Yeah, for a little bit, but it leads to sorrow and multiplied pain. But when we openly uncover our sin, when we are transparent before the Lord, when we say like David, I acknowledge my sin to you and I did not cover it up. Lord, I'm going to name it right now. Lord, I'm going to bow my heart before you. I'm going to name it. I'm going to make a list. Lord, I've done this. I've done that. I did this on this day. Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness because these sins are tying me up in bondage and leaving me in the dark, and I need the light. The world needs the light. The church needs the light. The church is the light of the world, Jesus said. And so, I want to ask you a question. Is there anything you are covering up in your life? I know things get a little uncomfortable and the preacher wants to get up in your business and stuff, but hey, don't tell me. Are you covering up anything? You know, as I was preparing this message, I had to stop in the middle of it, and I was doing some hard thinking, and I picked up the phone. I called my wife, Aileen, and I talked with her, and I said, listen, Aileen, I just want you to know something here. I'm about to preach this message. You're talking about uncovering sin and stuff, and this is what the text is saying. This is what it's all about. In my heart, I just want to tell you that I have no secrets from you. And everything is laid bare before you, honey. I want you to know that. And listen, my heart is laid bare before the Lord. And then we got into this beautiful, precious conversation where we were talking back and forth and we were talking about the areas of struggle in our lives and the areas of temptation and how we will never want to cover those things up. We always want to be open with the Lord and open with each other. And then the precious conversation became even more precious and tears were shed because we looked back at our lives and we saw how God was so kind to us. How we look back at periods of time in our lives, even before we knew each other, how we should have been just so dead. We should have been just experiencing such pain and agony and lifelong consequences, but God protected us from our sin. And when we cried and we looked back and we said, oh, you know how the conversation ended? God is so good to forgive us of our sins. God is so kind to us when we uncover our sins and confess our sins to Him. He's so kind. He forgives us. He restores us immediately. But loved ones, we can't live these secret lives covering up sin, even thinking to ourselves we can hide it from God. You can't do that. How do we confess our sins? How do we do that? We humbly acknowledge it. We openly uncover it. Are you willing to uncover your sin before the Lord today? Are you willing? Listen, I know what it feels like. You're sitting in, there's one thing or there's two things. You're like, I'll do everything but not that because I can't uncover this. I understand. I've been there. God, you have my whole heart. We sang that song, set my heart on you. You have all of me. Is that true? You have all of me except this one thing. I cannot reveal this one thing. This one. It's not a big deal. It happened in my past. Forget it. Uncover. Take the blanket off. Uncover. Come to the Lord your God. And say, Lord, here I am laid bare before you. I acknowledge my sin to you. And I will not cover my iniquity. And you will find, as David found, the forgiveness of the Lord rushing upon him immediately. Immediately. That's important, loved ones. Because sometimes we think we've sinned too much or we've done too much and God won't forgive me if I uncover it. Oh, he will. He will quickly. He will lovingly. And the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. East and west don't meet, loved ones. That's a far, far distance. And that's how far he's removed our transgressions from us. Those of us who humbly acknowledge our sin and who openly uncover our sin. And there's one more thing. How do I really do this thing of confession? How exactly do I confess my sin? I humbly acknowledge my sin, I openly uncover my sin, and then finally write this down, I obediently turn from my sin.
I obediently turn from my sin. The theological term for this is a repentance. Remember that this is a psalm, Psalm 32, of penitence or repentance and instruction. And what David is doing here is he's expressing the joy and happiness that came to his life when he confessed his sin and experienced the forgiveness of God. In other words, he's describing what happened when he repented of his sin and turned away from his sin. That's what repentance means, by the way. If you want a quick definition, it just means to turn away. Turn away. So this is repentance. I'm walking towards sin. This is repentance. Turn away. Walk this way. That's repentance. We need to obediently turn from our sins. Notice verse 5. He says, I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. Here it is. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. This is a decisive moment in David's life when he said, when he decided, when he was resolved to make a change. When he said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, he's saying, I'm turning away from these transgressions. It's not just, I'm going to confess it and let it out there. I got caught. I feel bad. Let me just tell him, after all, he knows everything. No, he's saying, I've made a decision in my life right now. When I acknowledge my sin and I uncover my sin, I make a decisive decision to turn away from my sin. That's called repentance. And it's all over the Old Testament and it's all over the New Testament. It's the message John the Baptist came ushering in Jesus Christ with in the New Testament. Messages, repentance. Now, this is important for us to understand because confession of sin and repentance go hand in hand. We have to understand this. And a failure to obediently turn away from sin demonstrates that our confession is motivated by something ungodly rather than something godly. A failure to turn from our sins in repentance means that our confession of sin was rooted in or motivated by something ungodly rather than godly. Where do you get that from, Jason? Well, I'll show you on the screen for you. Look what the Apostle Paul said about repentance in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. I don't know if you have it there, but it says this. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. Paul's saying there's a way to be regretful over your sin. There's a way to be sorrowful over your own sin. There's a way to grieve over your own sin that's either godly or ungodly. The godly way to grieve over it always leads to repentance, a turning, a changing of direction. The ungodly way, it only leads to death. And David didn't confess his sin because he got caught. That's worldly grief. Have you ever done that? No, someone caught me in my sin, and so I confess it. That's a worldly motivation to confess your sin. David confessed his sin, and he owned it for what it was. David didn't confess his sin because of sheer remorse. That's worldly grief. Like, I feel bad that I did this. No, that's worldly, and it leads to death. David confessed his sin out of sincere brokenness because he had wronged his God, and he wanted to turn from his sin. David didn't confess his sin because it was a check mark on a list to do. And I don't want anyone in this room confessing sin because it's a check mark. I got to do my due diligence. I got to do my thing. And check it off the list, because after all, the preacher said that's what makes God happy. No, that's not what we're saying. David confessed his sin because he hated his sin, and he wanted so desperately, listen, to change. And when you confess sin because you got caught, or you confess sin because you feel bad, or you confess sin for any other reason that excludes a desire to change and turn from your sin, it's worldly grief, not godly. And so this is a missing piece in the church today. We can tell you all the time, this is sin and this is sin, and stop doing this and start doing. But listen, what we need to communicate is this. You need to be able to look in your heart and see the times in your life when you sin. Do you possess a godly grief that leads to repentance, or do you possess worldly grief that only leads to death?
Godly grief that leads to repentance is like, I have wronged my God. I hate this sin. I'm repulsed by it. Why do I keep falling into this? I don't want to do this. I want to change. So I turn from my sin. That's godly grief. It leads to repentance. It leads to a turning. Or maybe you're here today and you're just stuck in a pattern of you're sinning and confessing and sinning and confessing and sinning and confessing and sinning and confessing all day long. Maybe it's because you're confessing from worldly grief, not godly grief. A godly grief that says, I need to make a change. I need to turn now. I'm not going to go there anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to say this anymore. I'm going to turn. I'm going to change. That's, loved ones, what characterizes what it means to obediently turn from my sin. That's why David says in Psalm 51, 10 to 14, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. He knows he wronged God and he wants a clean heart. He said, cast me not away from your presence. I've been doing some wrong things. I need to be with you, God. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. And watch this now. He says, then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will return to you. What he says is this. I don't want to pursue my sin anymore. I want to turn from it and return to you. And I want to call all people who are walking in patterns of sin to forsake their sin, turn away from their sin, and return to you. There's a turning. There's a returning. Is there a returning happening in your life? Is there a turning when you sin? Is there a repentance? None of us, after repentance, end up living a perfect life. But when we fall into sin, we are broken. We grieve. And we turn quickly away from sin and towards God. And if we confess our sins, the Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Amen? God's forgiveness will come to us immediately, but confession constitutes humbly acknowledging our sin, openly uncovering our sin, and obediently turning from our sin. And to those that choose repentance, you will experience the freedom of forgiveness. A freedom of forgiveness. And perhaps some of us need to do that. Not today. We'll have an opportunity to do that. Number one, we need to see the immediacy of forgiveness. Number two, I want to show you this. Now the urgency of forgiveness. We're almost done here. The urgency of forgiveness, it won't be available forever. The immediacy of forgiveness, it's available right now. The urgency of forgiveness, it won't be available forever. Where do you get that from, Jason? Well, look at your Bible in verse 6. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. And what David is saying here is there is a window of opportunity to call out to the Lord in prayer and repentance, but that window will not be open forever. You think you have all day? You think you have forever? You think you have 20 years? You think you have 30 years? You think you have 90 years? David says, I acknowledge my sin, I didn't cover it up, and God turned and he forgave me. Therefore now, because of my experience, I want to tell you this, people. This is what David's saying. Let everyone now offer prayer to God while he may be found. The implication is this, he will not be available forever. His forgiveness will not be available forever. We live in an age of grace right now. His forgiveness is available, but not forever. God is moving the events of this world. God is moving the events of this universe to accomplish his grand redemptive purposes. He knows the beginning from the end, and he knows when he will return for his church and when it will be too late for all who reside on the earth to turn in repentance towards God. If you're sitting under the sound of my voice today and you think you have time, I'm telling you right now, today is the day to turn. Today is the day to turn in repentance. If you don't turn today, you may not have tomorrow. You think I'm joking? Just go to your Facebook page. Go to your Twitter feed. You don't need to look very far. People die every single day. Natural disasters happen every single day. Aside from the fact that Jesus Christ is coming and he's coming soon, you may not have tomorrow. That's why I'm preaching this way. And that's why I preach this way each week, because I'm preaching today as if it's the last time I get to stand before you. Because it may be. And if you're living in disobedience to the Lord, you need to understand the urgency of forgiveness. James Boyce wrote this: "It's a great thing to be living in the day of grace, in a time when God is not far from each one of us. Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. But implied in David's words is the sobering teaching that the day of God's grace will not last forever. The day of judgment is coming. You don't want to be there without being covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. You just don't. I'm just telling you. If you think you're tough, you won't be tough enough for that day. The day of judgment is coming. And on that day, it will be too late to repent and find forgiveness. Do not wait until then. Come to Christ now. And every single sin you've ever committed can be covered. You can be atoned for. You can be pardoned. And on the day of judgment, you can stand before God covered. Covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. As I spend time in Psalm 32, I wonder, what will it take for some of us to stop playing games and turn to God with repentance and steadfast loyalty and devotion? How many weeks and months and years do you need to wander confused and aimless and distraught because you're harboring sin in your life? How many years? It can end right now. You understand the urgency of forgiveness, the immediacy of it. What we all need to know about forgiveness and freedom, the immediacy of forgiveness, it's available right now, the urgency of forgiveness. It won't be available forever. And then finally, and quickly, write this down, the exclusivity of forgiveness. It's the only path to freedom. The exclusivity of forgiveness, it's the only path to freedom. Notice verse 7, he says, "You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance." David is free in God. There's no kingdom big enough that will shelter him from trouble. He has that. There's no amount of influence he can have or popularity. There's no amount of material possessions he can have that can give him freedom. Only the forgiveness of his sins can make him happy. And this may be a reference to future deliverance from the judgment coming to the earth. But regardless of that, the truth for us is this: the pardoning mercy of God through Jesus Christ is the only exclusive path to freedom and eternal life. If anyone ever tells you there's another way to freedom, you tell them you're wrong. If anyone ever tells you there's another way to heaven, you tell them they're wrong. If anyone ever tells you there's another way, surely there's many ways, you tell them they're wrong. There's one way. Forgiveness through the person of Jesus Christ. Your sins forgiven, atoned for, pardoned, penalty paid on the cross through Jesus Christ. If you're not covered by the blood, you cannot be covered by anything else. It's the only path to freedom. Notice the text again: "You are a hiding place for me." For me, notice the personal nature of this. You, exclusive forgiveness from you. You are a hiding place for me. Some people need a hiding place today. You, only you, preserve me from trouble. It's personal. You preserve me from trouble. You, only you, can surround me with shouts of deliverance, rescue from wrath and bondage, freedom from that which can never satisfy. How? Through forgiveness. Some of us in this room, you sit under a heavy weight of the bondage of your own sin. And today, I just want you to understand, this is not a joke, this is not a game. Today, God himself speaks to you through his word. It says, acknowledge your sin. Uncover your sin. And you, like David, will be met with immediate forgiveness, but it won't be available forever. If you don't make this decision now, you may not have another chance. I want you to bow your heads with me right now and ask the worship team to come. And I'm always aware of the many different things going on in our church. If you're here right now and you're going through a hardship of some kind, and there's many that are, I want you to understand that God himself is a hiding place for you. Do you need a safe place today? Do you need a safe spot? He's a hiding place. He will preserve us from trouble. Yeah, we may face trouble in this life, but he will preserve us ultimately and when it matters most, on the day of judgment, if you are forgiven, if you are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Maybe you feel like you're surrounded by enemies on all sides. Maybe your life is very confusing right now, and you need to know that God actually surrounds you with resounding shouts of deliverance and freedom. You know that? If you're forgiven by him, he surrounds you with shouts, the Bible says, of freedom and deliverance. For those of us who have offered our lives to Jesus Christ and turned from our sin in repentance, no matter what you're going through today, he surrounds you with shouts of freedom. He's saying, freedom to you. You are free. Freedom upon your life. You're not restrained by sin. You're not dead in your sin. You're alive in Christ. And if you're here today and you need that forgiveness, you need to repent of your sin. You can do that right now. It's not complicated, but it requires a humble acknowledging of our sin, openly uncovering it, and turning from it. Anyone in this room willing to turn from their sin today for the first time? Maybe you have a pen and a pad and you want to begin to write down the things that you need to forsake, the sin that you need to confess. You write those things down. You take this seriously. Sin is so serious, Jesus went to the cross for that. And yet he says, I paid the price for you. You write it down, you name it, you say it to me, you acknowledge it, you own it, you be broken over it, you uncover it, you turn from it, and I will forgive you. Awesome. 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 If you need forgiveness today, you pray in your heart. Pray after me, Lord Jesus Christ. I am a sinner. I abandoned your ways. I've fallen in the world's trap. They tell me sin satisfies. They tell me sin will be good for me. But I am broken over my sin today. And I acknowledge it before you. Wouldn't you name it right now in your heart? No one needs to know, just the Lord. You name it right now. I am consumed with pornography. Forgive me. I'm consumed with substance abuse. Forgive me and deliver me. I'm consumed with lying. God, forgive me. I'm consumed with gossiping. I can't seem to stop. I hate it. Forgive me. Forgive me. I'm consumed with cheating and stealing. Forgive me. I'm in an adulterous relationship right now. Forgive me. I'm turning from it right now. I'm hurting people at work to climb the corporate ladder. Forgive me. My tongue is filthy, full of swearing and vulgarity. Fill me with your spirit and forgive me. What is it for you, loved ones? What is it for you? And Lord, today we come. We confess our sins. We acknowledge them. We uncover them. Nothing to hide, Lord. Nothing. Now, one thing I pray in this room today, not one heart is concealing even a corner of their hearts, Lord. Open and laid bare before you. Let it be. And I pray now there's a resolve to turn from sin and repent and find life and freedom. It's the only way. And what can wash it all away? Nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, do that for many, many people in this room today, we pray. The glory is yours. In Jesus' name we pray.